end-time prophecy. That's something that interests me. So tonight we're going to align some prophecy along with current events. We're going to find out some of the signs that Christ himself definitely stated. Let's take one. As in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, there's just one thing for us to do then, friends, is let's go back and let's find out what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah so that we know what that sign would be. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. Let's find out what really triggered God's anger, because it is God's wrath and his anger that shall stimulate and bring to pass the very consummation of the end of this age. Our subject is going to be Lot, and Lot has taken up residence in Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot being the nephew of Abraham, and he's got quite a family there. When he and Abraham split company, he went there. So let's just pick it up in verse 1. And let's see what happened to Lot just before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, and we should get some information from that. And there came two angels, in verse 1, to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. He could see that these were men of God, that these were special messengers, which is what the word angel means. From God. So he paid that homage to them, that respect. Verse 2, and he said, behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray thee, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. They were on a mission. We will abide in the street all night. Of course, it was customary at this time that someone would not be left on the street, but that they would be taken into a house. As a matter of fact, Christ said, if a house receives you, you know, bless it, and so forth. And if it boots you out, well, do the old dust dance and kick at it and let them know what you think about it and go on. All right? Well, he was gracious to them. 3. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. He knew, you see, that because he was giving them food fit for a very sacred person. Verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round. But both old and young, all the people from every quarter. You see, it's not just adults that participated in this. So it really shows you the degradation and the lowness of the community, inasmuch as very young people were there also. Young men, that is to say. Verse 5. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now, I don't know how many of you know what that figure of speech means. It means they were perverts. And these were males outside, and they wanted to know these males better. These religious, sacred messengers from God. You want to know what makes your father mad? Stick around. Verse 6, and Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. He was going to protect them. 7, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. 8, behold now, I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof, for my protection. Now, I have difficulty understanding this, of course, because that's not the way we do it anymore. All right? We would rather die protecting the woman. And I know what I'd like to do to a bunch of perverts that came up, you know, and knocked on my door and wanted some action. I guarantee you they would find it. But here we find them. He said, hey, I'll give you my daughters. Like I said, I have difficulty understanding that, but it was the customs and the traditions of this time. Verse 9. And they said, stand back. This is these perverts. Stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They said, this Lot's not even one of us. He's a traveler, a journeyer, and now he's set himself up to be our judge. We'll fix him worse than we will the other two. Verse 10, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. They reached out, grabbed old Lot, and drug him back inside. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, both the young and the old, so that they worried themselves to find the door. Now, I want you to see the sickness within this. That even after being blinded, we have them still fighting to get to the bait. Difficult to understand, isn't it? But that's the height of perversion. The height of perversion. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. As in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. What was the problem? Perversion. Rampant perversion. And your father doesn't like it. It angers him as it angers us. You know, we're a gentle people. If somebody must do something in their own place, in their own way and everything, hey, we've grown to the place, and have at it. If you want to get AIDS and die, sucker, die. You know, good riddance. Now, that may sound a little hard to some, but I mean, I'm getting right down where the rubber meets the road. It's their choice, not mine. God does not like it. And he said, when it gets to that point, as I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to put things back in shape. Now, turn with me to Hosea chapter 9. One of the minor prophets. Let's go over into a little prophecy. Hosea 9, verse 7. Satan doesn't like for us to teach this. He makes a lot of noise. Hosea chapter 9. Let's pick it up with verse 7 if we may. Hosea and the minor prophets, the next book after Daniel in the Old Testament. The days of visitation, verse 7 of chapter 9. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. What is that? That's the day that Christ returns. Right? It's also the day that recompense begins being handed out to Israel's enemies. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. I'm going to tell you something. I'm sure many of you saw when the perverted army of somewhere did their coming out program on national television, and this so-called priest with one of those turnaround collars, you know, things, doodads, came up and said, "It's time for us to show a little love," and kissed his lover right smack on the lips on national television, and he with a priest garb on. All right? The priest, the prophet, is a fool. The watchman, you know what a watchman is? They're the ones that watch for the end. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways and hated in the house of God. God doesn't like it. Know why? Depraved. God won't put up with it. I say it again. God will not tolerate it. He never has in the past, and he will not now. Verse 9. They have deeply corrupted or depraved themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, we will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. Well, now, hey, that gives us a great clue, doesn't it? It's going to be not only like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, it's going to be like it was in Gibeah. Now, you remember someone asked me to answer a question on Judges 19 last night, and I smiled and said, "I'll answer it tomorrow." We'll go to Judges 19, and let's find out what happened at Gibeah. Because that's the time Christ is going to visit. The book of Judges, chapter 19. Excuse me. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1, Judges 19, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim," meaning he was a Levite attached to the 10 tribes, "who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah." Now, I want you to pick up on that, because Bethlehem, Judah, of course, would be the land of Judah, and this other was a Levite, and this Levite married a Judahite, whereby you have the mixture, and don't put anything too heavy on this or read more into it than there is, but Mary was of this same lineage. She was part Levite, because her mother was a daughter of Aaron, and her father was of the tribe of Judah. Just in passing, to set the stage, all right, we're talking about the duties of a Levitical priest and his wife, verse 4:2. "And his concubine played the whore against him, and went away with him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. Now again, pay attention to symbolism in this. What is 4 again? Creation. Earth. The wife, the woman, which can be symbolic of Israel or the many-tribe body, was well established on this earth, indicating also flesh. Okay? Verse 3. "And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her, and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house, and went. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him." In other words, he knows that this man is coming to take his daughter back, which would be the man's wife. And it pleased him tremendously, because once a woman was set aside in that time, it was just about curtains. You know what I mean? That was the end of the road for her. Verse 4, "And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode with him 3 days. Mark it down, 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodged there. I want you to count the days in this, and I want you to count them as dispensations. But don't make the mistake that most do, even your companion Bible in the appendix that has to do with dispensations. But it is accurate with the exception of one thing. You have to add the first earth age. And that was the first dispensation. And then accordingly follow it with each number and you'll be in pretty good shape, all right? It represents, the first 3 days or third dispensation represents the time without the law, the Edenic, that's what happened in Eden, and on down through before the law was given to Moses, all right? Were there 3 days? Verse 5. And it came to pass on the fourth day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go thy way. Go ahead, be with us, and live it up. Now this takes us from in the fourth day, under the law and even the rejection of Israel. All right? 6. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. I guess the old boy was really wanting to make sure that his intentions were right with his daughter, and he wanted to know, you got a good old buddy here, and so forth. But at the same time, God is using this for prophecy that Gibeah could be referred to, because that's where this is about to take place, for you to get a grip on, to know and understand what's going to befall you in the very near future. Verse 7, and when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Together he lodged there again. Verse 8, and he arose early in the morning of the fifth day. Mark it in your mind. It's a period of grace. That's what 5 means, is grace. To depart, and the damsel's father said, comfort thine heart. You can unload on him again here. Comfort thy heart, I pray thee, and they tarried until afternoon. And they did eat, both of them. Verse 9, and when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father, said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening, and I pray you tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end, lodge here, that thine heart may be merry, and tomorrow get early on your way, that thou mayest go home. So they continue and continue, and it draws on. He's not going to agree with him this time. He's going to begin his journey, and this is where it begins to affect you. So listen carefully. Verse 10, but the man would not tarry that night, but he rose up and departed and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem, and there were with him two asses saddled. His concubine also was with him, and of course his servant also. Now Jebus was the name of Jerusalem when the Jebusites controlled it. I believe it says it in the next verse, 11. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent, and the servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn in into this city of the Jebusites and lodge in it. It's about to get dark. Let's turn in here. Now understand, well, let's go on. It's pretty well written. 12. And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel, we will pass over to Gibeah. And here's where it begins. They passed up a city that probably would have taken them in, and most likely as a stranger he would have been okay. Maybe not, but that's not the point. He's going on to Gibeah, and what happens here will be one of the things that determines a sign concerning the end.
Verse 13, and he said unto his servant, come and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge all night in Gibeah or in Ramah. Both mean hill, actually, but verse 14. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them when they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. Now, do you know how to reckon a Hebrew calendar? When the sun goes down, what happens? You start a new day. What day? The sixth day. Which is the dispensation of what? Antichrist and his fall. Which covers quite a period of time. But you are on that day with the sun just sinking below the horizon. We get on our good ship Lollipop and onward we go. I'm sorry, that wood is on their donkey. All right? Verse 15. And they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down in a street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. No one friendly turned aside. This is a city of Benjamin. Benjamin, of which would come from it Paul, of which would come from it Saul, which would be no great recommendation, but nevertheless. Verse 16. And behold, there came an old man from his work out in the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah. In other words, here we have another case where there's another stranger that's dwelling in Gibeah as well as the Levite that's passing through. But the men of the place were Benjamites. He was of one of the tribes of the tribe of Ephraim, but they were in the city itself was of the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 17. Don't forget which day we're on, all right? Not just in passing. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city, and the old man said, whither goest thou? And whence comest thou? In other words, he's coming in from work, and he sees the Levite there in the street. 18. And he said unto him, we're passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim, from thence am I. And I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord. In other words, he was a Levite, therefore signifying and documenting the fact that he is an active priest in the house of God. And there is no man that receiveth me to house. There's no one taking me in. I'm going to tell you something, friend. In this day and time, I wonder how many churches would allow you to speak in it, teaching God's truth. I wonder how many houses would take you in and keep you. Think about it, all right? Verse 19, yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me, and for thy handmaid, and for the young man which is with thy servant, there is no want for of anything. We got everything we need. We got our own food. We got food for our animals. If you can take us in, we'll be no burden to you. Verse 20, and the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street. In other words, he knew it was dangerous. Don't lodge out there in the street. 21, so he brought him into his house, and he gave him provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Why would God talk about Gibeah? That doesn't sound... 21. So he brought him into his house, and he gave him provender unto the asses, and they... devil beset the house round about and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. Throw that true priest out here. God doesn't like that, my friends. He doesn't like that at all.
Verse 23. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them and said unto them, Nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is coming to mine house, do not this folly. 24. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye then, and do with them what seemeth good unto you. But unto this man, do not so vile a thing. Again, I have difficulty understanding that. It makes my blood run hot when I even think about it. But friends, you better start looking around you. You better start looking at your cities. Again, God doesn't like it. Verse 25, but the men would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them. They knew her, abused her all the night until the morning, and when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the drawing of the day, this is to say, his concubine, this Judahite woman, and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till it was light. She died there on the doorstep. And her lord rose up in the morning, opened the doors of the house, and went out to get his way, to go his way. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. We don't need to belabor it. We don't need to take it any further. The days of visitation and contention would begin when it was as it was in the days of Gibeah. What is your commander-in-chief doing today? What is your president, by presidential authority, trying to order upon the citizens of this nation? Perversion. And God doesn't like it. And my friends, whether you realize it or not, you have moved into the days of Gibeah. You want to know what hour it is? You're in the hour of Gibeah. They display it. They flaunt it. They show films daily. The media involved 100% on it, showing men walking down streets, painting themselves on the, you know what, advertising the fact. And even many churches ordaining homosexuals. And God doesn't like it. He will put up with many things. He sent a plague, a burning fever that takes away the immune system, and they die by the hundreds, but they still enjoy their perverted ways. God doesn't like it. And you're only seeing the beginning, my friends. Let me tell you something. It's like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's like it was in the days of Gibeah. So we're ready for the visitation. It's all but at the door. I don't know. Door. I don't know what our Father will do, but I will tell you this. He is angry. And I would not be surprised. And it could take till the turn of the century. Who knows? But it wouldn't surprise me if he kicked those false, fake angels out onto this earth tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you something. Other than their supernatural abilities, you wouldn't see a whole lot of difference as to what's going on in our cities. Gunning down young people, gang wars,
bloodletting, no care for life. And it's open season on who? Drug traffickers? It's open season on who? Gang rapes? Open season on who? Perversion? No, Christians. It is no accident that television ministries have bit the dust right and left. Why? There's none of us perfect, all right? But it doesn't matter. The news will jump on Christians, and they, hey, this is no secret guess. They have advertised this fact, the press has, that it's open season on Christianity. And there was a work in one of the national weeklies, and I forget, I want to say the New York Times, but I'm going to scratch that. I can't remember for sure. That one of their writers said the family will be gone by the year 2000, and basically, so will Christianity. Hey, I got some news for them. I've got some news for them. Somebody is getting angry. And it is as it was in the days of Gibeah. And I'm going to tell you something. Not only that, we will not tolerate it. We will call, write, fight with the platform that we have, this perversion, gallantly, openly, and we will be protected by Almighty God. But my friends, you are in the days of Gibeah. Wake up. Look around you. Waco, Texas, peanuts. It's coming. The prophets are mad. And God doesn't like it. Very few warnings. This is your warning. You are in the days of Gibeah. I wasn't planning this, but I'm yet going to another place in Hosea. We'll leave this. This isn't, but a scripture comes to mind that I hope I can find it. Hosea. Let's return to the book of Hosea. And if my memory doesn't fail me, it's in chapter 10 is the scripture I want. I'm going to start reading in verse 7 of chapter 10 in Hosea. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, that's the house of Nephing. The sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and the hills fall on us. You know what happens when your altar grows up? They're not using it. And I'm going to tell you something. The true altar of God, which is His Word, is used so seldom today by so few that the paths aren't even the weeds out of them for the footsteps. I speak spiritually. 9. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. There again. This Gibeah and Sodom are brought into end-time prophecy probably more than any other place as an absolute. By that I mean you have an absolute fix. If you don't believe it, look at your current events. Tomorrow, watch the news closely. And if not tomorrow, the next day. And it will document what we're saying about perversion. You won't have to look very far. About gang wars, about young dying needlessly, because they don't understand that God loves them. And Satan, through using the power of the media and many other things, is brainwashing the children and the people of this nation into following that path of death. And so it is. What did Christ have to say about this? Let's go, if we may, to Luke, the 17th chapter. I may get done with this a little earlier than I thought I would. I seem to be enjoying this. It's moving rapidly. Now, let's start with verse 22. The teachings of Christ. And he said unto the disciples, Jesus speaking, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. You know what that means? The Lord's Day. You're going to desire, I've desired to see the Lord's Day, don't you? Wouldn't you like to see it? Hey, I'm ready. This world is sick. All right? And everything in its place. You've got work to do. And God only knows you're needed. Your Father needs you to serve in His congregation. 23. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. What does that have to do with? You know from the 13th chapter of Mark, that's talking about them saying, he's over there, Antichrist is here, Jesus, rather, is there. So Antichrist has been kicked out, basically, at this time, because Jesus is warning. Verse 24, for as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. I could put this another way, and I think I will to simplify it for this time. As sure as the sun comes up in the east and goes down in the west, you can count on the days of the Lord, the day of the Lord, because it's coming. When? When that just comes to pass that was said. He's here or he's there. Verse 25, but first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. 26, some more signs. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, just before he comes. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. What? God gets mad. He will only put up with so much. He doesn't like perversion. 28. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. Ooh, Lot. Well, we were just there, weren't we? Judges 19. That was Gibeah. As it was in the days of Lot. I'm sorry, not Gibeah, but Sodom and Gomorrah. Excuse me. That's where the two angels came. And the perverts tried to drag the angels out, and what a surprise, okay? They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Beloved, you're God's own. You're the one that He will protect, regardless of what happens. He will protect you. You are His own, special. And as He protected Lot, so He will protect you all. You can count on it. Verse 30. For even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I'm talking about the end, my friend. Verse 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. You're not going to need extra clothing. You're that close, in other words. 32, remember Lot's wife. How many of you know what happened to Lot's wife? She looked where? Back. She liked that perversion. Be careful, my friends. And I'm not saying, I know none of you have to worry about this, but be very careful.
33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it, which is to say alive. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Are you going to be the one that's taken, or are you going to be the one that stays behind? You better be the one that stays behind, because the one that's taken is taken by that one that says, hey, he's over there in the field. Well, let me rush out there and see Jesus and worship him. It's the Antichrist, of course. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other left. They'll be working in the mill. One's taken, one isn't. Make sure you're not taken by the false one. Two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles, or translated vultures, thither will the vultures be gathered together. The body of Christ. Where was his body crucified? It's Jerusalem. And when you see Satan's angels booted out there, and we are to read signs and signs. You understand that? My God, my friends, look around you. It is the days as it was in Gibeah. It couldn't be any closer. And to have a government turned in 1 year to a point that it blatantly and with pride, a man who even claims to be a Christian, and quite frankly, I'm not going to point him out or anything else, but I'm going to tell you something about your commander-in-chief. To those that have known him, hey, he's really, you know, he's a good old boy. Do you know, there is a man in this room, and I'm not, we don't need to mention his name or anything, but I'm telling you, there's a man in this audience, congregation, that has attended the same church that Bill did, that had a teacher, he's passed away now, but that taught almost exactly as we do, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. Don't think Clinton doesn't know better. Don't think he hasn't been taught. Now, do I have a vendetta against Clinton? No, I don't. I have a vendetta against poor leadership and perversion. A nation that brave men have fought for to keep safe for the children, to have a decent place, not to be gunned down by gangs and dope runners and you name it. And don't think it hasn't happened in Arkansas now, okay? You people in the big cities no longer have a corner on the market. We have people murdered from here, between here and Tulsa and the other way, because of drugs. Whole families wiped out. Everywhere. And at the time we really needed leadership, I think God is really showing us something. I must keep my campaign promise and allow gays into the military. Why? We want our young men to have AIDS quicker? Or what's going on? I mean, I'm just thinking out loud as I sum this up. Like I said, I'm going to get through a little quicker than I thought I would, and I'm kind of glad. Because I'm not sure I like this subject all that much. But it had to be done. Because that's the prophecy. And that's your life today in this United States of America, this hemisphere, this world. It's as it was in the times of Gibeah. So, of all times, the one thing that will trigger our Father is perversion. What do you think? Do you think he's getting his temper up? You can rest assured he is. And it's obvious
in some of the things that he has allowed to happen in this nation, such as the tower terrorists in our own nation, but brought home, such as the event in Waco, Texas, again, which is peanuts compared to what you see that affronts God on full scale. What does it mean to us? You're all but in the end, my friends. I'm not prophesying that tomorrow is the day. I'm not prophesying that it's next week. I'm just saying you better keep your eyes open, because prophecy is rolling so fast that it's very difficult to keep up with it. So, yeah, those points and those signs that he said would happen, and that would be the day of visitation, they've already begun. And we're moving into it. It is as it was in the days of Gibeah. So, work overtime at keeping up with prophecy and understanding it. Am I telling you to worry? Not one iota. If anything, it's probably something to rejoice about. It means we're that much closer. And my friends, I have a feeling, and like I said, I don't want to make you anxious, but I have a feeling we're very close. It can't go on too much longer that these prophecies are going to start coming to pass. And you know something? You're there. You're living it. But God will always, and I mean always, protect His own. He'll give them strength when they need strength. He'll give you leadership when you need leadership. He will give you wisdom when you need wisdom. All you have to do is please Him, pray to Him for our nation, for our people, our brothers, our sisters, and most of all, thank Him that you're aware of what's happening and you're not a part of it. Not a part of it. I have great difficulty in understanding why people would choose to die in the actions of Gibeah. I really do. I just don't quite, and I can't quite connect with it. I can't understand why people want to live under that kind of pressure. But evidently they do. I suppose Satan has won over many souls with confusion and what have you. So, I'm going to end that there, and I'm going to tell you, your current events align with prophecy of the very last hour. So, be ready. Stand by. And thank your Father that He has chosen you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You, Father, for having called us, for leading us. Thank You for Your Word, Father. Give us knowledge and wisdom. Bless this family, Father, as we continue in Thy Word. In Jesus' precious name.